great. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I want to say good afternoon to all of Macedonia, to all of God's people, and all the people God has created. I want to say good afternoon to those that are live streaming. And I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
I want to thank my wife and my daughter for their support. And my brother and sister Tyndall for their support.
Amen.
And finally, all of God's people here that have been praying for me, and also finally Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Minor, who has given this opportunity to serve and preach the gospel of Jesus. And so I just want to thank you all. God bless you. Now I want to go into a prayer and ask God to help me out.
Yes, Lord.
And to be told to help us all out.
Amen.
Let's bow. Heavenly Father, I come praising and blessing your holy and righteous name.
Yes.
I just want to be your humble servant. Move me out the way and let the Holy Ghost get a hold of me, all of me. Nothing that I save, just let it be from Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just open up hearts and minds and the spirit of everyone that's here. Oh God, give us out of the word what you would have us to hear, see, and to do. And let us do it. Receive a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I want to get into our book of John. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Let me back up on that. Chapter John, verses 1, the apostle, the book of John, St. John, book, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll drop down. And we start out, is everybody there? The book of John, St. John, in the New Testament, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, and Jesus passed by and saw a man was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has the man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And then dropping down to verse 13 and 14. They brought to the Pharisees him that after for time was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and open his eyes. And drop it down to verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, And when he found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe it on the Son of God?" And so, looking at the book of John, the writer is the disciple of Jesus, the Apostle John. He was in the innermost circle of Jesus Christ. And we find that the theme comes from the fact that what happens is this is a man that has been touched by Jesus and has made a life-changing decision. A life-changing decision that he has received salvation. And what we find is he has received his blessing. Now, getting into our text, the title of our text is a miracle that speaks the truth. A miracle that speaks to the truth.
Yes, sir.
And here we have John, who is an eyewitness to this event. And here at verse 1 and verse 2, we see that Jesus has passed by the blind man. And the disciples said to Jesus, "Who has committed sin? Was it his parents or the blind man?" And he said, "It's for me to show the works of the Father who sent me." And so what here we have is Jesus making a point. And what we find in our text is three different points that we're going to touch on. And point number one is someone's troubles is not always because they committed sin. That's point number one. Someone's troubles are not always because they've committed sin. And point number two is trials and tribulations can be a test of faith. Trials and tribulations, and if we look at it for ourselves, trials and tribulations can be a test of our faith, a test of your faith. And point number three is have faith in Jesus. He can work it out. Faith in Jesus, and he can work it out. And what we have here in verse 1 is, in verse 1 and 2 is, that Jesus, he wants to dispel this notion, this wrong way of thinking. And even today, some of us think this way. And such that in the ancient biblical times, when someone may have been blind or had some disability, they believed that they had committed some sin. Somebody had committed sin. But see, Jesus, he comes to dispel this notion, And he says that this is something wrong with that way of thinking. Now, even today, some of us choose to take on this wrong way of thinking. We may see our neighbors going through trials and tribulations and thinking it's because of some sin that they have committed. That's the wrong way of thinking. And sometimes they think that because of this is why God is chastening them. That's the wrong way of thinking. But it's for us just to be not cold-hearted, but pray for them. And if even at all is possible, be some comfort to them. Although there are sometimes some cases when there is sin and it blows up in their faces. But still, we should be there to bring some comfort to them. Now the text is unveiling the work of God. And the power is about to be seen that there is something to be going on that is going to be an extraordinary thing. And here's the point. Point number one, someone's trouble is not always because they've committed sin. Let me say it again. Someone's troubles are not always because they have committed sin. Let me say, it's not always. And so we see the answer right here in verse number 3. Jesus dispels this notion when he says that neither this man nor his parents, but rather the works of God might be manifested through him. And so verse 4, Jesus now says he's going to do the work of God who sent him. In verse 5, he's saying that there's a set time. In other words, he's not going to always be here, but there's a set time. He's not going to be here on this earth all the time. It's just a set time. He's the light that exposes darkness. He's the light that draws all men, women, and children onto him. Because the darkness has entangled them up into sin. And so now in verse 6, Jesus spits on the ground. He picks up the dirt and forms and fashions it into clay. And forms and puts it and anoints the man's eye. And now the blind man, he tells him to go out to the pool of Siloam and wash in it. And when he did it, now he was able to see. And so when some of the neighbors saw him, they thought they recognized him. But some said, that's not him. But he said, yes, it is. Yes, I am him. And he said to them, because they wanted to know, how was he able to see? He told them, there was a man named Jesus that took clay from dirt and it anointed his eyes and he was able to see. Not a shouting time. And some of you have been blind but now can see. I know I was blind. I was blind by darkness of sin, but Jesus rescued me and he set me free. That's shouting time. Somebody here knows what I'm talking about. Has God healed you? Has did God delivered you? God has been good to me. God has healed me. God has wiped away my tears. God has been so good to me. Has good God been good to you? He's been my lily in the valley. He's been my bright morning star. He is worthy to be praised. I tell you, he's worthy to be praised. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? Has he been good to you? Has he healed you? Has he done something for you? God has wiped my tears. God has saved me. God has rescued me. I just thank him for all he's done. All he's done for me. Yes. Oh, my God. He's been good. Yes, he's been good. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. And so now back to our text. Back to our text. They ask him in verse 20, they ask him, where is he that did this? And he said, he didn't know. In verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees. And he was told, and they told him that he had been blind. And they said that on the Sabbath day, Jesus took some dirt and clay and formed and fashioned and made it and put it on his eyes to see, but on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees again asked him, how was he able to do this? The blind man went on. He said, I don't know, but he put clay on my eye. And I washed it, and now I can see. And in verse 16, and some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God, but because he does not keep the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man who does such miracles be called a sinner? And so there was division. And here was the problem. Work on the Sabbath. Defining what work is on the Sabbath. The Pharisees were dogmatic in that they said, to heal a blind man on the Sabbath was sin. It was not good. But yet they had in their traditions and their statutes to pull an ox of your neighbors out of a ditch on the Sabbath. It was good. Who does that? Who does that? Sounds crazy. You know, it brings us today an illustration of being overly dogmatic. There is those that say, speaking in tongues is needed to be saved. That's overly dogmatic. That brings division. In verse 17, they said to him, what do you have to say about this man who has changed you from being blind and now able to see? And he said, he's a prophet. Jesus is a prophet. But these Jews, They didn't choose to believe in him. That this blind man that now could see because of Jesus. And so they contacted his parents. 19, the Jews now asked his parents, is this your son who tells us that he was born blind? And how is it that he's able now to see? And the parents said, they know that this is their son, but we don't know how he can see. And then verse 21, and the Jews now asked his parents again. And the parents responded, we don't know. And then they said to him, they said to the Pharisees, he's of age, ask him. That's saying something. He's of age, ask him. These parents, they knew just how far they could go. His parents realized sometimes it's best to stay out of grown children's mess. And this is a good example. This is a good example that takes notice of. Here the Bible is giving us an example. Sometimes parents of grown children will stick their noses into their business. And sometimes I should say it be in their relationships or even their marriages. But parents must realize that there are boundaries that exist. I know of a situation where some parents got involved with their grown children's situation, their relationship. And the police got involved. And the mother, she almost touched the police. But somebody grabbed her and held her back. She must have didn't get the message. And as a parent, you got to know how far you can go. As a parent, you just got to know how far you can go. And so back to the text. These parents knew how far they could go, and they were allowed, what they were allowed to say and what they were allowed to do. Because they had heard. They had heard that the Pharisees, that the leaders, whoever stood for Jesus, would be put out of the synagogue. And this is why they said, their son is grown. Ask him. They didn't want to get involved in his mess. Again, the Pharisees spoke with their son who had been blind. and said, and they said to him, give God the praise. They have the audacity to say to him, give God the praise. In other words, they didn't want to give Jesus any credit. They didn't want Jesus. They couldn't stand to hear about Jesus. We know that the man that healed you is a sinner, they said. In verse 25, and here we find this is a pivotal point where the man that was blind and now can see, he takes a stand. He stands his ground. He's now able to see physical things and also spiritual things. He doesn't throw Jesus under the bus, so to speak. Nor does he call him a sinner. I wonder, it's a question to us. Do we take a stand for Jesus? Do we stand up for Jesus? In verse 26, again, they wanted to know what he had done to him. How did he make him to be able to see? And he says to them, I've told you what he has done for me. Do you want me to tell you again this same thing? Or is it that you want to be his disciple too? Now the Jews wanted to get sarcastic and criticize him, saying that he's a disciple of Jesus. And they said that they are disciples of Moses. But they didn't know where, they told them, they didn't know where he came from. I'm talking about Jesus. And now, here's the title of our text. This is the man, the miracle that speaks the truth. Here's the title of our text. This is the miracle man that speaks the truth. He says to them, this is a marvelous thing, a man that opened my eyes and I can see. But you don't know who he is or where he came from. Here it is again. And the miracle man speaks. And he says, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if any man worship God, does his will, we know that God hears him. And so he mentions the oracles of God, where it says, since the beginning of the world, it was said that if any man that could open the eyes of the blind, if this fellow was not of God, he could do nothing. And here it is, the miracle man. He speaks the truth and takes the Jews, the Pharisees, back to school. And the Jews then answered and said to him, you are born in sin. You have the audacity to try to teach us. When the truth is spoken, people need to listen. When the truth is spoken, people need to listen. But they were so full of pride, they did not want to hear or be reminded of the truth. No, not by him. What we find is pride is a dangerous thing. Pride is a dangerous thing. They were spiritually blind and could not see. They were in the midst of a miracle man that was blind, but now was able to see. He knew the truth and spoke and spoke it. And they couldn't handle the truth. And so they cast him out of the synagogue. And so in verse 35, Jesus heard the Pharisees had cast him out. And Jesus found him and asked him, did he believe on the Son of God? In other words, Jesus showed up. He came back for him. Jesus doesn't forget anything. He knew the man was in need of something. Jesus knows what you need. He never forgets about you. And so now he asked him, did he believe on the Son of God? He asked him, did he believe on the name of the Son of God? And so here's point number three. Have faith in God. Have faith in God because he will work it out. Have faith in God because he'll work it out. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. But have faith in God because he will work it out. Have faith in God because he can work it out. Whatever the situation is, he'll work it out. Yes. The blind man, the ex-blind man asked him, who is the Lord that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and I am he that you are talking with. He let nothing hold him back and said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He worshiped him. He worshiped him. He received his sight. And he became the new miracle. The miracle of salvation. The miracle of forgiveness of sin. He was healed of his sin. Oh, what a mighty God he is. Jesus can fix it. The miracle of salvation. Jesus. Jesus is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He has a miracle waiting for you. He has a miracle that has your name on it. He has a miracle that has your name on it. Jesus is waiting for you. One day, he was marched from Judgment Hall, from Judgment Hall. They accused him. They abused him. They bruised him. They put him on the cross at Calvary. He shed his blood. They stretched him out. Why? He bled. He died. But on the third day, he rose from the dead with all power in his hand. He rose from the dead, delivering power, healing power, the miracle of salvation. He rose from the dead. Come to Jesus. 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 kingdom is here.
Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. The gospel has been proclaimed. Jesus has paid the ultimate price. And he desires to have an intimate relationship with us. The only way that can happen is that Jesus stretched his arms out, suffered, bled, and died on our behalf. And if you believe that God raised Jesus up, you can have that relationship with him. This invitation is for you. It's an invitation of discipleship. Perhaps you're looking for a church home. This would be a good one. Will you come? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 Listen here, that text really resonates with me, because his first point is that just because someone is suffering in some type of way does not mean that they sin some kind of way. You know, and the first thing that comes to my mind is when we see homeless folk, we think they in the condition because of something they did, and that's not always the case. This is a perfect text for that. Just because someone is in a bad way don't mean that they did something wrong. God just may want to show up through you. Maybe he's trying to use you. Amen. 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 I told him, I said, man, that spit must have been some holy spit. And Jesus spit on that ground and made that clay. And it took his, listen here, it took his faith, right? We don't see in the text where it said that he had faith, but it took his faith to go and wash. So faith is a part of it as well. Amen. Amen. Listen, I thank and praise God for the preacher. You thank God for the preacher, the preacher word, amen, the word, amen, amen. We thank God for, we're going to ask now, we're going to take an offering, we're going to give him a love offering. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time, if you would, that you get your best gift in your pocket, in your hand, and bring it around and be a blessing to this man of God, his ministry work. He's labored in the word. We're asking that you bless him. We're going to ask, get a little walking music if we can. Amen. Amen. Okay. Also, if you're on live stream or you're here, you can also give via Givelify as well. There is an area in there where you can give a love offering. Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting God, our Father, we just pause now to give thanks again for this preacher and for the message. We thank you for the gifts that have been taken up to be a blessing to him. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this offering now, that it might abound to your glory, your honor, and your praise. It is in Jesus' name that we do pray, and for his sake, amen.
All right, let's church say amen one more time. Amen, amen. Well, if our hearts are satisfied and we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, let's stand to our feet. I also want to remind you, we are fasting Wednesday. Please fast on Wednesday with us. Amen. I know it's a challenge, it's difficult, but there's a purpose behind this. Amen? Amen. If those who desire prayer, please come down to the throne of grace. Amen. If you desire prayer, come on down. We know that the prayers of the righteous avails much. One thing we want to be known for is being a praying church. We know and understand that God answers prayers. If you don't believe God answers prayer, ain't no sense of you praying. I pray in faith, believing that God's going to do what I ask. When I ask it according to his will, he is a prayer answering God. And my prayer is that as I'm praying, that you're praying as well. That God will see about you. Let us go before the Lord. Dear eternal and everlasting Father, we come this afternoon, God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, God. And we thank you for just your overwhelming presence in our lives, God. And Lord, you always seem to show up when we need you the most, God. We thank you in the good times. We thank you in the bad times, God. Lord, we're asking right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that, Lord, you would meet us at our need, Father. For all of us stand in need of something. And even if I don't know your need, I know that God knows. So, Lord, I'm asking right now that you would meet us, Heavenly Father. That God, you will open some doors, God, that need to be opened. And yes, even shut some doors that need to be closed, God. And so, Father, we come right now putting our faith in you. Trusting in your forgiveness. Trusting in your mercy. Trusting in your compassion for us. We pray, God, that as we hear your word this morning, God, that, God, we will leave out of here better than when we came. That, Lord, we'll let that word resonate in our hearts. That, Lord, we might be able to live out this gospel message in which we've received. For the Apostle Paul said, that which I receive, I give unto thee. All of us need to have that same mindset, God. That, Lord, whatever we receive today, God, that we'll deliver unto this dying world. That God will let them know that there is a risen Savior. One who has given his life for us. One has become that sacrifice for us. And, Lord, I just pray that we would be living examples of what Christ did. That we'll understand the dynamics of sacrificing ourselves, being a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto you, God. Lord, we pray now that you'll bless those who are on our sick list. God, touch those, Heavenly Father, Lord, that are here that may be sick, God. Dealing with some type of issue. We're praying right now in faith, God, knowing and trusting and believing that you can and you will do it, Father. We pray for those who are behind prison walls, God. Those who are incarcerated, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we're praying, God, that God, you would meet them, Heavenly Father, Lord, with your gospel. We know that there are some that are serving life sentences, God. But the good news, God, it does not exempt them from having eternal life, God. Oh, touch right now in the name of Jesus, God. Somebody needs you this morning, God. Somebody needs you to work a miracle for them this morning, Lord. Some of us are going back to jacked up home relationships, God. But Lord, we're praying right now that you would feel, that you would fill us with your spirit, God. And that, Lord, you will fix situations and circumstances, God. Touch that husband, Lord. Touch that wife, God. Touch those children, God. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, bless as we depart from this place, God, and go to our various destinations, God. Till we meet again. If it be thy holy will, till we meet again on next Sunday. On Wednesday at Bible study, God. Touch us right now and we shall be touched. We glorify your name today. We honor you for who you are. You are God all by yourself. It is in the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. Amen and thank God. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing. Amen. God bless you. Hug somebody.